Michigan singer-songwriter Abigail Stauffer has a new album out this week. It's called Where I'm Going. Stateside's Mercedes Mejia sat down with Stauffer to talk about the choices she makes when she crafts her lyrics and her new song dedicated to events in Ferguson, Missouri.
You spent a good part of 2014 making this album. How would you describe this past year?
How would I describe the whole past year? It was a lot of thoughts. Every new year, I do read through my journals from the last year. And so I've had some time to reflect on that. And it's been a lot of focusing on this album in particular. I started it in March. Also a lot of reflection on relationships versus aloneness. And that was a really strong theme in all my journals. So it's not surprising that's a strong theme in this album.
Well, let's take a listen to the first track off your new album. It's called Better Off Alone.
Don't act like you're my love. Done enough, just let it fall away. You fit just like a glove without a match. I'm better off without you. I used to feel complete until you shared your warmth, but only gave me some protection from the cold. I'm better off balanced. At least I know where I stand. At least I know when I'm alone.
There's a lot of emotion in your lyrics. Tell me about this song.
I wrote the song when I was feeling a little bit frustrated with one particular failed attempt at a relationship, but how reminiscent it was of many others. Part of it is, like, really bitter. Part of it is a frustration of, like, why is this so challenging? Like, why does it have to be so hard? And part of it is a sincere statement that, not in hatred for anyone else, but finding my own independence, that it is good to be alone. It is good to be stable. And sometimes it's easier to know where I stand, to just work with my own head and my own thoughts and not have anyone else influencing them. And that actually kind of relates in my idea of playing with a band versus playing solo, and this tug between being a very independent person and trying to learn how to be with other people and not fight so hard against being open to other people's ideas, being open to other people's emotions. So it's a little bit of a mix-up of both of those, independence, togetherness.
I've listened to your new album and your two previous albums, and it seems like in almost every song has a very personal story behind it. Do you consciously set out to reveal parts of your life and your experience?
I definitely don't have the intention of telling everyone exactly what's going on in my life. But I do use my life as content for my songs. So I find myself in a really vulnerable space when I'm performing because I am opening up sometimes more than I really would want to with a whole bunch of strangers, but for the purpose of connecting and making the songs really authentic and hoping that they'll also relate with those songs and those experiences. So my intention isn't necessarily, I want everyone to know what's going on, who I dated last week, how I was feeling yesterday. But I do end up revealing a lot about my personal life as a means of songwriting.
Speaking of your personal life, I want to talk about your first album because it reveals some things that you were struggling with at the time you wrote it. You grew up in Dexter in a fairly religious family, and in the last few years, you've moved away from the church. Here's the song, Take Me As I Am.
I've been thinking for weeks about what I should say, how to explain to you. Do you understand why I'm so afraid? I've anticipated every possible response. Do you see all the ways things might not be the same between us? Sometimes it's easier just to wait. I am waiting for the day when I can finally hear you say, you take me as I am. Would you take me as I am?
So you were already wrestling with religion at this point. Tell me about this song.
I wrote it at a time when I was in my first relationship, which was with a woman, and I didn't really see it coming as much as other people in my life seemed to have. And that caused a lot of tension in my relationships, not just with the church I was in, but with my friends, with my family. Sometimes people were upset because they disagreed with it morally. Sometimes they were upset because, why didn't you tell me what was going on? And no matter what, even people who were supposedly supportive, there was a lot of tension going on.
I want to talk briefly about your second album, No Contradictions. It stands out because we hear R&B, electronic, and even hip-hop.
Everything you've been through, I've been too, been there. I've been scared, I've been unprepared for what's next. And my expectations left me out in the rain. See, we hold on so tight to this life we think is rightfully ours. We think we earned it, deserved it. We think it comes free of charge. When we lose our expectations, our whole world is shaking. It's taken me a while to realign my inclinations. Grant me patience as I wait this out. I don't know how it will resolve. I want the earth to still revolve around me, but
suddenly the world is spinning without my permission. Thought that we could go on living like we own the stars, but it's not me who chose to enter in this life we're living. And it seems what I've been given isn't mine to keep.
I'm speaking with singer-songwriter Abigail Stauffer. You've said the themes in your second album were somewhat about your own identity and somewhat about the genres you were playing around with. Do you think in the future you want to make music that sounds more like this?
Yeah, I'd really like to see if I can, like, channel my songwriting specifically. I sort of, whatever comes out, but I'd like to say, like, now I'm going to do an R&B album. We'll see if that happens. I set my intentions one way and different songs sometimes come out, but...
Finally, let's listen to a track off your new album. It's called The Condemned and the Innocent.
Oftentimes, I have heard you speak of one who commits wrong as though he were not one of you. But I say that even as the righteous cannot rise beyond the highest which is in each one of you, so the wicked and the weak cannot fall lower than the lowest which is in you also. The lowest is in you also.
So tell me about this song.
So this song is based off of the writings of Khalil Gibran. It's from the book The Prophet, and this particular section, it's on crime and punishment. And I was doing a songwriting group with other artists like the Appleseed Collective and Chris DuPont, a number of people who were saying, here's the assignment for the week. And the assignment for the week was write a song based on someone else's poetry. And so I picked out, sort of at random, this subject, and I found that in writing it, I really was thinking deeply about the idea. Normally, an idea comes to mind, and then I write a song. And it was really interesting to approach someone else's idea and try to put it to music, and then to see so many different world events where, as I was writing it, I was learning a lot about what's going on in the prisons today, and I was learning more about what's actually happening with crime and punishment, and it really started to hit home, like, how meaningful the song was. And then, as I was finishing doing the mixing, a lot of things were going on with Ferguson in particular, a non-indictment, and a lot of riots, a lot of aggression and disagreement between groups. And just on my Facebook feed, for example, people who seemed like they were friends with each other had very different opinions, and there was a lot of division, and there still is a lot of tension going on. And it's great that not only did I write it in a different time frame, but Khalil Gibran wrote it in a very different time frame. And it's really amazing to see somebody's words come through, and the idea of you can't separate the good from the wicked, the guilty and unblamed, this idea of, like, there's so much tension about who was at fault, who was blamed, who's taking responsibility, but that the song really invites people to find a sense of oneness, that we can't separate from each other. We're stuck with each other, in a sense, and trying to bring some unity back to everybody.
You cannot separate the condemned from the innocent. They are the same. We are the same. wayfarers, we are the way.
You're always experimenting with your music. In this new album, Where I'm Going, you brought in the cello and ukulele. What's next for you?
It's great because the album is called Where I'm Going, so it's a good question. What is next? Where am I going? I'm really trying to step it up and take ownership. I feel like a lot of my music career has been handed to me, and I know I can take some credit, but it's just opportunities and doors have just opened that I wasn't even seeking. And I feel like at this point I'm really trying to step it up and learn how to do more of the music booking process and learn how to market myself better. And so as much as I want to say, like, what's next is diving headfirst into the music, I think what's really the reality of it is what's next is the music has always been coming, it'll keep coming, and now I need to learn to be a better business person as part of it. So that's what's next.
I've been talking with Abigail Stauffer. Her latest album called Where I'm Going is out this week. There's a CD release show this Thursday at the Arc in Ann Arbor. Also, you can check out Abby playing for us in studio. Look for Songs from Studio East at michiganradio.org. Abby, congratulations on your new album, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mercedes.
Nothing that's ahead of me has spelled itself out quite so clearly as the way I spell my name. It's A-B-B-I. Eventually we'll get to where I'm going, but it seems like here is just where I was headed when I thought about it last year. You can't tell me what to do. I'll get to where I'm going with or without you. You can't tell me what to do. I'll get to where I'm going with or without you. With or without you.